And a good morning, everyone. Mike Burge along with you on the comment program this Friday morning. It's the final Friday of the month. That means it's the Ask Dr. Rick program, not intended to give you medical advice or anything like that, and not endorsed by any specific organization, even though Dr. Rick is the surgeon at Cherry County Hospital here in Valentine. So, Dr. Rick, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well, sir. Getting ready for the big holiday weekend here.
Well, yeah, it's the first big holiday of the summer, I guess, and you picked a good topic to talk about today. SPF. That's what you see when you go to, when I go to the store and I'm going to buy some suntan lotion. SPF. I have no idea what SPF stands for.
Yeah, it stands for sun protection factor. So
really?
Yeah, they come in many different shapes, sizes, and things like that. So if you look at just run in the mill, so you're cruising through, well, you know, I don't have Walmart here, but the general store or something like that, and you see UV or sun protection 30 or 40, and if it just says that by itself, what it's doing is trying to, the SPF is trying to protect you from a sunburn. Okay, so we're going to key on the word burn, because there's two types of rays that come out of the sun. So there's UVA and UVB, okay. And UVB protects you from the sunburn. So if you just get a what's called not broad spectrum SPF, you're going to just get UVB protection. So it's going to protect you from a burn. And if you get a broad spectrum one, then it's going to protect you from UVA. And UVA, I remember, is the stuff that causes aging. UVA is a little more high intensity radiation, sun ray that actually penetrates deeper. So UVB is protected by mostly, can be protected from the glass in your car, but they're only protected from UVA. So an SPFs are tricky. People say, well, if I get an SPF of 30 and then I get an SPF of 60, maybe I should get double the protection. It really doesn't work that way. An SPF of 15 will block rays, the UVB radiation by itself. 93% of the rays will be blocked. If you get an SPF of 30, it'll block UVB rays 97% if you get an SPF of 50.
That sounds pretty effective, actually.
It does. It does. And you know, you get an SPF of 100, it'll block 99% of those UVB rays.
So only a couple more percent?
Yeah. So, you know, the American Association of Dermatology, you know, says at least an SPF of 30. You know, they're not going to say don't get a 50 or 60, but, you know, if the SPF 30 is, I don't know, $9 and the SPF 100 is $18, you're only going to go up about 2% increase in how much UVB rays are or UVA rays that are going to get blocked. So,
well, you can tell that we're not endorsed by Coppertone.
No. Like no, not at all. So, and SPF is determined in a lab. Okay, so they put a precise amount on a part of somebody's skin at a precise thickness, on evenly on the skin, and a controlled amount of sunlight over a certain amount of time. So in a lab, everything works super well, and they get some numbers, but the American Association of Dermatology says most people don't apply enough and don't apply. They say, they don't care if it has to be a 15, 30, 40, 50, whatever combination you want. And they said you need to apply it liberally, and you need to apply it every 2 hours.
I don't like the sunscreen that doesn't soak in. Everybody wants the stuff that, you know, doesn't leave you looking like a ghost and that white stuff on you. So are you supposed to have the white stuff on you? Is that
spoiler alert. So in 2019, the FDA said, we need to really kind of look into this stuff a little bit better. And so in 2019, the FDA did what they call a federal registry. They want to update the sunscreen regulation. So in May of 2021, the Environmental Working Group put out released a statement. So the Environmental Working Group found that 3/4 of the 1,800 sunscreens we have in the United States, that, and they analyzed them, they said that most of them didn't really protect you like they said they would.
Hmm.
And they said in Europe there's 27 different types of substances that they use, and in Europe they control sunscreen like control cosmetics, so it's got to be tested on animals, things like that. So the FDA said we're going to allow 16 ingredients to be in there, and two ingredients you just don't want on you is ones that have PABA, P-A-B-A, or something called trolamine salicylate. So they've sort of taken those two out of the 16, and then they said, well, there's 12 other ingredients that we're not so sure about.
So what did they do with them? Did they say yes or no?
They're still testing.
So what did those two do that they were not good for you? Apparently there was some harmful factor to those two substances.
Yeah, so there's two general types of SPF. There's SPF that cause a chemical reaction. So they UV rays hit, they absorb in your skin, the UV rays hit you, and then they absorb them in a way that takes the energy out of the ray. So those are usually the chemical reaction ones. Those are ones that don't make you look white. Those are the ones that kind of soak in your skin. And then there's the other broad class, which are the mineral-based ones, and those are like the zinc oxides. So they're sort of leaning more towards the zinc oxide types. These are ones that stay on top of your skin and actually deflect. They'll actually deflect the rays as opposed to absorb. There's some substances in the SPFs that they stay in your skin for 21 days.
21 days, yeah, really? Yeah. Like 3 weeks?
Yeah. So there's, if you want it, there's the EWG, which is Environmental Working Group Healthy Living app, and you can download that. And that will give you safety ratings on sunscreens.
So you can get what are the top 10 sunscreens or
yep,
whatever,
and what they feel is safe at that time.
Okay, so you might already have. I'm sure you do because you do a lot of research before we come on here and talk about this. And I just kind of jump around. But what about the sprays versus lotions versus? I ran into something the other day I didn't know existed. They had them in a towelette. And I didn't know you could do that. It was like, you know, like an insect repellent towelette. But, I mean, you really didn't feel like you were getting much on you, so right. I'm not sure how effective it was.
Yeah, so over and over in my late-night research, they said, you know, the best SPF is one that you use correctly. So spray, towelette, things like that. And putting it on correctly means every 2 hours, okay? Don't get the false insecurity. I usually use SPF of 50. Now I'm going to do an SPF of 100. So I'm good all day.
Twice as long.
Yeah. You need to apply it every 2 hours and apply it liberally. So that's the best one is the one you use. The mineral ones, the ones that kind of make you look a little white and flaky, don't tend to burn your eyes. I've been out there fishing. I put sunscreen on and start to sweat. And oh, my gosh, I can't see. It hurts like hell. Hurts like heck, sorry. So the best one is the one that you're going to use correctly, sure. That you're going to put on every 2 hours. In 2011, the FDA banned the terms waterproof or sweatproof. There is there is no such thing.
So I must have a couple of them that are older than that because they say waterproof on them.
Yeah, so they can't say waterproof or sweatproof. They can say water resistant.
Oh, okay.
Sunscreen is waterproof. So, you know, go back and look at your stuff. So if you're really looking for a sunscreen, make sure it's broad spectrum, covers UVA and UVB. B will cover you from the burn. UVA will stop the aging. So a lot of ladies out there may want to prevent the aging process a little bit. So get a broad spectrum. And then if you have kiddos or you're going to be out in the water, and when it says it's waterproof or sweatproof, they'll give you a number, 40 or 80 minutes.
Okay. Why 40 or 80? Is that?
I guess 20 and 60 were already taken. I don't know. So
that's just arbitrary number that.
Yeah, that they pick. And I guess it's how long people would spend in the water. Actually, in Hawaii, they banned certain sunscreens. I don't know which ones they are, but they say they're harmful to their coral reefs.
Yeah.
So they're in Hawaii. So I guess if you go to Hawaii, wait till you get there.
We were in Mexico here a month or so ago. And when you went snorkeling in the cenotes, the sunscreen has to be some kind of a certain sunscreen because of the water. So.
Yeah, no, it's if you ever owned a pool, it's you have to put different chemicals in to get rid of all the funk that comes off people in general, but I'll let you figure out what that is.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, it's a whole nother show. So, yeah, so 60% of Americans use daily skin products that prevent or anti-aging. 11% wear sunscreen daily, and actually American Association of Dermatology says you should wear sunscreen daily.
Really?
But 50% of Americans say that they never use anything, no sunscreen.
I don't unless I'm going out. If I'm going to be out in the boat, we're fishing or we're driving around or out camping or something like that and the sun's beating down on us, I'll put sunscreen on, but normally not every day.
Well, that's what they recommend. And so, putting that out there. Dr. Malzack, weird and wacky fact number one.
So how long does sunscreen last? I mean, if I have one from 1997, probably still not a good thing.
No, if it comes out, you know, if it comes out, it looks separated, you have a kind of a gunky part. You know, they recommend, you know, something it has an expiration date on it. So if it expires, they say get some new stuff. Even if it's not even been opened before, you know, people are like, oh, this looks great. It's been in the back of my closet. I'm going to use it. So, and, you know, they also say sunscreen should not be your only protection. So
I'm going to say stay in the shade if you can.
Stay in the shade. So, yeah. So I went to school at University of Miami. And a lot of sun down there. And when I went off to college, my mom said, make sure you wear protection. So I'm not really sure how sunscreen she meant, but maybe it was. I'll let you figure that out. And I just say that to see if you become physically uncomfortable when I say things like that.
I mean, using common sense goes a long ways here, right, when you're doing sunscreen.
You know, I learned this in the military. Common sense is not all that common.
Yeah, right, no, true. Yeah.
So you want to seek shade between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. when the sun is at strongest. One thing you said about being out there and maybe by the water. So sand, snow, and water will reflect sun rays up. So a lot of people say, well, I'm going to put a sunscreen on. I've got a big brim hat, and I'm going
to. I don't need to do my chin.
Yeah. I don't need to do under my belt because the sun never shines there. But so sand, snow, water can reflect rays up and give you a false sense of security. Wear a wide brim hat. Sunglasses that have UVA and UVB, you actually can get melanoma in your eye, in the color part of your eye. So, you know, sunglasses that cover both. People say, why wear polarized? Polarized just bends the light in one direction or the other, or only lets rays in that come in a certain direction. So polarized sunglasses don't really protect your eyes. They're just
so my $3 sunglasses probably aren't doing me any good.
You get what you pay for. you wear UVA protection clothing, actually clothing now that it's tight woven. They actually say wear dark colors, which I think will make you warmer, but
that's what I thought.
But dark colors will actually absorb it. You know, it'll absorb it at the clothing level and probably make you warm, and things that are tight woven.
You know, you've seen in the last 10 years, a lot of people that do a lot of fishing will have long sleeve, kind of a light, I don't know what, polyester shirt or something, whatever it's made out of, but they're special fabric. Mm-hmm. They'll have a long sleeve shirt and they'll put on something over their neck, like a hood. It almost looks like a ski cap or something out there.
I got it all. I got the hoodie part. I got the little
the face
neck gaiter thing. Yeah, because it's, I'm not getting any better looking, and I'm sure the years of sun exposure have not been kind to me, so I try to block it the way I can.
Okay, here's a question for you while you're looking through your notes there.
Yeah.
What about the people that go, well, I'm just going to burn once at the beginning of the year. It'll turn to a tan, and I'll be good for the rest of the year. So what harm does that do to your hide?
A lot. And, you know, they say a bad sunburn can increase your risk, starting early as, you know, childhood, increase your risk of getting a skin cancer, which are melanoma, basal cell, and squamous cell, and a couple other ones, but those are the three main ones, and it can increase your risk by 13%.
Wow.
And that's additive over a lifetime. They have those, you'll see them in cosmetic stores, that have, you know, cosmetics with SPF in it, and they have that special kind of ultraviolet light, or more like the lights in our ceiling here, and they shine it on you and you see all the sun damage. So it's cumulative, it's additive, it adds up over time. You really need to prevent a bad sunburn. You know, they say, well, you should go out, you know, well, I'm a medicine doctor, sometimes say, go out and get some sun at least 10 minutes a day and get your vitamin D levels up. So vitamin D is created in your skin, or one part of the vitamin D, and then the American Association of Dermatology came out and said, you know, why don't you just take a $2 or 2 cent pill, vitamin D3, and get your vitamin D that way. So there's some back and forthness about, you know, how to get your vitamin D and how much sun exposure. But sun is god-awful hot these days. It's
right.
It's really amazing. You need to sort of stay away from it as much as you can and prevent those really bad burns. They're additive. And the sun's changed. I know as a kid, my mom would take you to the beach, and then, I don't know, was it the stuff that smelled like banana stuff?
Banana boat.
Well, there you go.
Banana boat sunscreen.
Thanks for helping me on that one. That was a stretch for me. Banana boat, yeah. And it would just light up, go get a sunburn. But you could be out there all day in the sun, and, you know, it didn't really matter all that much. So things, the sun's stronger. And
what about those tanning oils? I mean, they say that, I don't even know where they fit into the spectrum, because they're supposed to let you get tanned but not burn. Is that right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's, how do you know? I mean,
sounds like just a lower SPF or something.
Probably lower SPF. And what oil does, it actually focuses the light rays. It's, if you ever remember from your biology class and you looked under a microscope and you only could see so far, you would put a little drop of oil on the lens, and then that drop of oil would sort of filter light through. And so it's just like putting a big magnifying glass on you. So I'd be careful. Use caution.
I've seen that in the stores, and it's usually kind of right around where they have sunscreen at. So
yeah.
Sometimes you pick something up and you go, wait a minute, that's tanning oil and not sunscreen.
So yeah, not to throw my wife under the bus here, but she gets the spray-on tan.
Okay.
And you go to some place, and there's some person in there with a big spray gun and sprays you. And way back when, she used to look a little orange and jaundiced, but I think they've really gotten better with it.
They've got a better tone.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to come off on the sheets and bedding and all that kind of stuff like it used to. So that's an alternative. And I know when she's got to go to some formal event and she thinks she's pasty white, she goes and gets some. She comes home like, well, what happened?
What about those tanning booths that you get that you go lay in a bake and they bake you for a while?
No, that's bad because they're super close. They're not really. I've taken care of people, and I did burns in the burn unit in Philadelphia, that they would go to a tanning bed. They went to the tanning bed, would go to this tanning bed, and then they would change the tubes in them. So the tubes wear out, and then they said, well, I usually went in there for 20 minutes, and all of a sudden they changed the tubes. They put new ones in, and they're stronger because they wear out like a light bulb and would get pretty fried. I mean, just amazing. So you can't really control it. You know, it's a timer, and it's on. And I just think it could be risky. I mean, life's about
just control your own exposure to the actual sun.
Yeah, a controlled burn.
Somebody had sent me a message here and wanted me to ask you, how do you convince men, they're picking on us now, to go have small moles checked out because they think they're being babies by doing that?
This probably comes from a wife or girlfriend. Like, hey, I love you very much. I want you to be around a little bit longer. Can you go get that check for me?
So can you just, when you do a regular routine thing, say, hey, doc, by the way, I've got to throw that in there at the last minute when you go to the doctor.
I kind of got a little sweaty palms there when I was a resident. We had a surgical oncologist, a guy who does cancer surgery, and he does mostly melanoma. And I said, hey, I got this little funky mole, He's like, come on up to the office, we'll check you out. So I come up, and, I'm in my residency. I have, first year, second year residents, third year, fourth year, fifth year residents, medical students, people I'm going to work with every day. And he's like, come on up, we'll get you checked out. And he goes, looks at the mole, and he's like, okay, well, we got to look. And when people get checked, you got to look in nooks and crannies. Melanomas, 10% of melanomas don't look like a melanoma. They're not dark. And they can happen in places where the sun doesn't shine. And I'll let you think about that. So he said, well, Rick, we got to check you for other ones. And I want you to strip down and be back in to check you out. I'm like, okay. So I kind of strip down, and then he brings his entourage in, which is all the residents and
his
medical students.
Comes with him.
There was 15 people in there. I'm just like, and these are people I'm going to work with for the next 7 years. And I'm like,
no secrets there.
No. And he's like, well, we've got to check in the difficult parts. I'm like, right now? And he's like, come on. And so I was, yeah.
Okay. So to answer the question.
So it's a question. Make it,
do it for me.
Do it for me. I want you around. And I do want you to do it for me. You don't have to do it for yourself, but I'd like you to do this for me.
And I would think you wouldn't necessarily have to make a special appointment to do that. Do it when you're in there to get your blood pressure checked because you're pre-hypertension.
Yeah. Hey, doc, what do you think about this? And that's the thing. If you do have something, that's and what are the things to worry about? Something bigger than a pencil eraser, something that's changing in color, something that tends to bleed and not heal very well. So something, and things can change. The dark spots. I could tell you. You could look at each one arm. I have two arms in front of me, like most people do. And you look at my left arm, and that's the arm that's always out the car window. And that has a lot more dark spots on it. And you look at my right arm, it doesn't really have it. I have a friend who flies planes and for United and just retired and has had multiple, skin cancers. He sits in the left seat near the left window, and he's got multiple small skin cancers taken off the left side of his face.
Wow. Yeah. Never thought about that, I guess.
Yeah.
So to summarize then things, Dr. Rick, again, we're visiting with Dr. Rick Malachek, who's the surgeon at the Cherry County Hospital. The views that we express here are not from Cherry County Hospital, but just our own for the entertainment of our crowd here listening.
Yeah.
So to summarize, SPF 30 is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get the broad spectrum.
Yep. UVA and UVB.
If you're outside, wear a wide-brimmed hat.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Sunglasses. Okay. You know, try to limit your time in out in the sun, but usually the fun times are between 10 and 4. Try some of the clothing, especially on little kids. And sunscreen can wear off, not in a sense that it wears off, that it doesn't work, but you actually can rub it off. So if you're, you know, playing some sort of sport or something like that, you could just physically rub it off an area. And I think we've all had places in our bathing suit that sort of rubbed off, and you get this little one patch that just gets burned like you won't believe. And then also places that don't normally see the sun, the back of your ankles. I mean, if you're in a bad ankle burn on a sunburn, it's
the miserable. Back of your knees.
Back of your knees.
Yeah, if you're standing there in your boat fishing all day and you don't put sunscreen on the back of your knees.
You'll find that you're getting a shower the next day and you'll just be completely overwhelmed.
I always make sure I cover my knees.
Yeah.
Because nothing hurts worse than putting on a pair of pants after you've been out in the sun and your knees are burned or the tops of your feet are burned.
It's like wearing burlap. So what are you doing for Memorial Day? Anything fun?
We're going to go camping. We're going to be off to
Calamus
Reservoir.
That took us like 10 days or something.
Yeah, we're going to be gone. It's an annual trip we've done for 23 years, I think it is, with a group of friends. So we're going to try to get some walleyes.
I've got to catch a fish up in Merritt.
I hear the fishing at Merritt's been really good. The walleye.
That's how I show up.
Well, have you been out there?
I haven't. Maybe I'll be out there this week with my son.
We're going to try it because I've had a couple different people tell me they've caught some big pike and the muskies are kind of hitting the walleye. And so I'm not sure, you know, if it's fast and furious or you're just catching those big ones, you know. But
everybody likes to catch the big one.
You know, the more you fish, the more fish you catch, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
In theory. Do you know when the first Memorial Day was?
The first Memorial Day? No.
That's a trick question.
I can't. Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with SPF. But I'm going to say 30 because that's what we were talking about was SPF 30, but probably not 1930.
No, well, there's a 30 in there. So the first, it was General John A. Logan in 1868. He worked on the Union side of the Civil War. He made it Decoration Day, and it was on May 30th.
Decoration Day is what it's called.
Yeah, do you know why they call it Decoration Day?
Because they were decorating veterans.
Well, most people would go and decorate graves with flowers, so he picked May 30th as the day when flowers would be in bloom. So it was Decoration Day. And then do you know when it changed?
No, I do not.
So in 1971, it was the first Memorial Day. Congress got in there and said, hey, you know, we should make this a national holiday. And for all fallen veterans and fallen people in the war. So in 1971, they made it Memorial Day, and they made it the last Monday of May. So
we could have another three-day holiday.
Exactly. So that's how it came to be. So, yeah, it was mostly for the Union side of the Civil War. Actually, there are some down south, they do celebrate some days that are for Confederate folks, but I think that's all good. And so that's, Dr. Marlzak's weird, wacky facts.
That's a history for the month.
So. Yeah.
All right. We're going to see you the last Friday of, what's next, Mike? June.
June. Yeah.
You got that down? What are we going to talk about? Do you know yet?
I never know until I wake up.
Till the night before.
Actually, I did this last night about midnight. I was doing my laundry, and I was like, I guess I should put something together.
It's good information. Good timely information heading into the summer months. And so pool's going to be opening up here one of these days in the near future. People headed to the lakes and doing all those kind of outdoor activities or down the river. So.
And if you do the water, you know, the ones that you can use in the water, again, they're going to tell you it lasts 40 and 80 minutes. While you're in the water, that's not part of the 40, 80 minutes once you're out of the water. That reapply every 2 hours.
Yeah, so every 2 hours, if you're going down the river and it's a six-hour trip, you better hit it three times. All right, well, Dr. Rick, you have a good Memorial Day.
Sir.
Good luck fishing, and thanks for coming in today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Again, we've been visiting with Dr. Rick Malachek from the Cherry County Hospital here in Ballantyne. This has been a program for the entertainment and information of our listening audience out there, not intended to give medical advice to our listeners there and not the opinions of Cherry County Hospital.